Chapter 12, we're continuing with our subject, looking at angels. All right, Hebrews chapter 12. I want to read from verse 18. For you are not common to the mount that might be touched, and are born with fire, now unto blackness, darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that had entreated the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Verse 22, but ye are come. The writer of Hebrews is showing us a contrast between the mountain that they came to, which they received the law, and the mountain that we have come into. And the contrast between those two is important in us understanding the ministry of angels. It says in verse 18 that there's a physical mountain called Mount Sinai, where the law was inaugurated through the ministry of angels, and it was given through Moses to the children of Israel. It says it was a physical mountain that bound, where they had loud voices, and they saw angelic display of power. It says, but you are come unto Mount Zion. So in Mount Sinai, we see angels differently than we see them in Mount Zion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the mountain you've come to is how you define the ministry of angels. In other words, if you stay with Mount Sinai, your understanding of God's original intent for angels cannot be clear. Because the Bible calls that ministration the ministration of death. It means it was given to men who are sense-ruled, men who didn't have the Spirit of God. Men who were not reborn. Hallelujah. The Bible says the law is not made for the righteous. So Mount Sinai represents man in his senses. Man without the Spirit. Man unregenerated. But he says, but you are come unto Mount Zion. Look at the description. Unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. By the time you see the word heavenly, you know he's not talking about the physical mountain. He's talking about the spiritual reality of what it means to be a new creation. Where? In Christ Jesus. Remember in Colossians chapter 1 verse 12, the Bible says, giving thanks to the Father who has made us meet to be what? Partakers of what? Say inheritance. Wherever you see the law, inheritance never mentioned. Inheritance always points our attention to something that we never worked for, but was bequeathed to us by reason of birth. Don't forget it. So it's telling you, upon Mount Zion, there's an inheritance. However, we arrived at that mountain, it was through the inheritance that is ours in Christ Jesus. Verse 13 of that Colossians 1 now says, who has delivered us from the authority of darkness and has translated us to what? The kingdom of his dear son. So Mount Zion is a kingdom of God's dear son. Hallelujah. So you have to be aware of metaphors. There are metaphors used there to describe spiritual realities. Again, verse 23 says, but you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heaven Jerusalem, and to one an innumerable company of angels. Verse 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Hallelujah. So we see angels in a new light, in the light of the redemption that is ours in Christ. We see the original intent of God for angels as we see redemption in Christ. Hebrews chapter 1. We said some things there last week which we're going to say again, because I really need us to really grasp it and understand this very clearly. Verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. God who has sundry times in diverse manners, speaking time past unto the fathers by the prophets, as in this last day, spoken unto us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So we establish the fact that God speaking to us through Christ is God's final and complete revelation concerning himself. So dark sayings, wrong practices, shadows, types, they all come to an end through the revelation of God that we have in Christ. So Christ is God speaking plainly. Christ is God saying all he wanted to say, he couldn't say through the prophets. So when we want to understand what is God's character, what's God's original plan, what was God's intention for man for the earth, we can only see those things through Christ. We can't see them outside of Christ when we look at the Old Testament. Look at verse 4 now. He's speaking about Christ. He said, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained what? a more excellent name than they. That verse simply means that by redemption, which makes you a son of God, you are made far better than the angels. It means the class of beings that angels are cannot be compared to the class of being a believer is. That's what it means. By inheritance, you have obtained a more excellent name. The word name there means authority. So it's refined that the new birth is what makes it possible for you and I to be joined here with Christ. He's using Christ as the prototype or the example. He says Christ is more excellent. He has obtained more excellent name than angels. He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. Look at what it says in the next verse, verse 5. It says, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I'll be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten to the world, he said, and let all the angels of God do what? Worship him. So we see God's original intent for angels is that they should worship the Son. So let me take our mind back a little bit, some things grand we've covered. Number one, we said Adam never occupied the place that God originally planned for man, because it transgressed. We understand from scriptures that by eating of the fruit of life, by now you know the fruit tree of life is not a fruit. Hallelujah. Isn't it? If you be a member of the church already, that's not a real truth. So by not receiving God's word concerning God's plan, he didn't receive the image of God, which is Christ. So Adam never attained to what God originally planned for man, because he outright disobeyed God. So we see what was God's original intent for angels. We see it in the redemption that we have in Christ by the words that are stated. The Bible says, again, when they bring it in this first begotten the word, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. The word worship there is the word serving. So the plan of God is that angels should serve sons, or should serve those that have a throne. See what it says in verse 8. Look at what it says in verse 8. But unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is what? Forever and ever. A scepter of what? Righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. So how does the kingdom of God operate? Through righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why are we staying with the revelation of scriptures? Because if you look at the activities of angels in the Old Testament and the encounters that men had with them, you will never really understand their ministry, because you're reading after the experiences of men who are spiritually dead. Men who were in sons. If I look at Hebrews chapter 3, let me show you something. Look at how the Bible refers to Moses. For those who want to follow Moses, let's look at how the Bible refers to Moses. Hebrews chapter 3. Moses was a good teacher, by the way. Okay? It's just that he had to deal with rebellious people who were stiff-necked. Amen? Because Moses walked by faith. That's the truth. But look at what the Bible says about Moses. Verse 3. For this man, that's Jesus, was counted worthy of more what? Glory than who? Inasmuch as he who builds the house has more honor than the... Hallelujah. Are you following me tonight? So look at the comparison. For this man, he's talking about Christ, was counted worthy of more honor, of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who builds the house has more honor than what? The house. For every house is built by some man, but he that builds all things is who? Is God. Look at next verse. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a test servant for a testimony of those things which have been spoken what? After. That phrase, the things that we've spoken after, is a reference to the gospel. The redemption that will come long after the law, Moses was faithful. And the Bible says, how was he faithful? In what role did he play? As a servant. Moses was a servant. Do you understand that? But look at the next verse. But Christ, as a son, over what? His own house. King James is wonderful. Whose house are we? How will you say that this today? Whose house we are, isn't it? Did you see that? So notice it says Moses was a servant. Or the highest status you can attain under the Old Testament was that of what? Servanthood. But you're not a son. Now let me ask you a question. The Bible just told us in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6 that when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, that phrase bringeth in is talking about the resurrection of Jesus. He was in the world, he went into the belly of the earth. When he brought him back into the world, it wasn't the same way he went down. He came out of spiritual death and he became the firstborn among what? Many brethren. So when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, something changed about the status of Jesus. His initial status was the only begotten. When he came out of spiritual death, he became what? The first begotten among many brethren. That says, when he brought him again to the world, there was an utterance, or there was a status, there was an honor conferred upon him. The Bible says, he said, and let all the angels of God serve him. So Jesus has attained the status where the angels, according to God's original plan and intent for man, were able to fulfill their functions. Were they fulfilling their function before that time? Yes. Were they able to fulfill it fully before that time? No. We see angels relating to people who were spiritually dead. The Bible says even Moses, that angels related with, were the servants. So you cannot count on Moses' experience to know the true place of angels. If you understand what I mean. You cannot count on Moses' experience. So when you hear, for instance, now, I said something last week that's very important. The reason why you are not likely to see a burning bush is because Christ has come. A burning bush is necessary to call the attention of somebody who is spiritually dead. How do you appeal to people who are spiritually dead? You appeal to their senses. Did you understand that? So sometimes, because you know, because there was so much graphic display of power in the Old Testament, some of us even think that there was more of God's power in the Old than in the New. The reason is because God had to use the spectacular. You know, let me use an illustration. If you're familiar and close to someone, there's a way you talk to them, you relate with them because you are close to them, isn't it? If you're not so free with someone, there's a way you sound officious when you're talking to them, yes or no? So the same way also, when God was relating with men who were spiritually dead, these are men who don't have an understanding of God's true character. They summarize who God was from their experiences. So the way God can call their attention, when Moses saw the burning bush, this was what Moses said, I will now turn aside and see these great sights. What did he notice? Why the bush is burning and is not consumed? What was God trying to do? Get Moses' attention. How did he do it? There was an angel in the bush that caused it to burn. And remember, the Bible says, he maketh his angels spirits, and it means as what? Flames of fire. So it's normal for angels to appear as flames of fire. That is their makeup. They have a celestial body. They glow, they shine. That's their makeup. So God uses God uses spectacular to attract the attention of men who are spiritually dead. But now that you are in Christ, we are seeing a reverse of the process. One by revival process, we still see spectacular manifestations of God's power, but there's less of it because you are to be interested more in the supernatural than spectacular. Let me say it another way. When you go to the crusade ground, you are going to see more of power gifts in operation to call the lost to Christ. When you are among believers, you are going to see more of utterance gifts in manifestation because people that you are addressing are already in Christ. Should I say that another way? When you come to a crusade ground, you will see spectacular revelation gifts in operation to call attention of those who are outside of Christ into Christ. When you come to the church, you will still see revelation gifts in operation that have been less spectacular because you already were in Christ. So while you go outside, you will see more of speaking of future events. When you come into the church, you will see more of speaking forth of what has already happened. To remind this believer. You see the difference? So when a man is spiritually dead, you will see more of the spectacular because he's a man of the senses. And so God wants to arrest him in the senses. But a man that is of the spirit is meant to stand upon the revelation of God's word to understand spiritual manifestations. That's the plan of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, now the Bible says Moses was faithful in his house as a servant, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. Where his house? What did he say about Christ? The Bible says, you are come unto Mount Zion. This is the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and you have come to innumerable company of angels. The word doesn't mean uncountable. It simply means myriads. Myriads of angels. So the interesting thing about Mount Sinai, Mount Zion, is that on Mount Sinai, where the Lord was inaugurated, there were angels, but their activities were different. On Mount Zion, which is a spiritual gathering, the angels are present in a different dimension. They are present there to serve sons of God. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 1:8 again. Hebrews 1:8. Let's read verse 7 first. See what it says about angels. Verse 7. And of the angels he said, who maketh his what? Angel spirits. And his ministers what? A flame of fire. Next verse. But unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is what? Forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Look at verse 13. Now we've got to run. But to which of the angels said he what? At any time, sit on my right hand. Or which of the angels has God ever made a son? Sit on my right hand is reserved for sons. Sit on my right hand comes only by inheritance. Inheritance is for sons. So he has just switched the language. He's not saying God has ever said to an angel, sit on my right hand. Or God has ever said to an angel, you are my son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Only men can be sons. So God has ever said to an angel, sit on my right hand till I make your enemies what? Your full suit. And I said something earlier, the angels don't have enemies. It is man that has enemies. Hallelujah. Till I make thy enemies thy footstool. And number one enemy of man is who? The devil. Think about it. Angels don't have enemies. So sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your what? Footstool. Or till I make the one who usurped authority your footstool. Your footstool simply means till you prevail over him in every way. That is, you manifest the victory of Christ to the fullest. That's what it says. Till I make your enemies your what? Footstool. Hallelujah. So if the Bible says, unto the Son he said, and let all the angels of God what? Worship him. Which role are angels meant to play in the New Testament? They serve the sons of God. Now let me say it again. If you have Old Testament thinking, it takes a while for the truth to set in. Angels serve God by serving the sons of God. Angels don't serve God directly. Again, if you look at the Old Testament scriptures and you don't look at the revelation of Christ in scriptures, you won't see this. The Bible says angels serve God by serving who? The Son. Remember 2 weeks ago we looked at Isaiah's vision in Isaiah 6. Isaiah saw angels worshipping who? The one who sat on the throne. What vision did Isaiah see? Isaiah saw a vision of the future Christ on the throne. No one was on that throne before. Look at Psalm 110 once again. Psalm 110 is one of the strongest prophecies of the Old Testament that speaks to us about the relation we now have in Christ. Psalm 110 verse 1. If you don't understand this verse, it's going to be difficult for you to understand redemption as a team. See what it says. The Lord said unto who? My Lord. So let me ask you a question. With all the things we've been doing, who was the Lord who said, the Lord said unto which Lord? I can't hear you. The Lord said unto which Lord? Unto, what did he say? Until I, when did he say it to Jesus? When was it said? When he rose from the dead. Okay, now, may I mention, because you have to understand what the Bible is saying. Now, when you hear the Lord said to Jesus, or to my Lord, sit at my right hand, what comes to your mind is, when Jesus rose, God now told him, oh yeah, come and sit. No. Clear intention. Figure of speech. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. It is simply as saying, by your resurrection, all my right hand is yours. Shall I say that again? By your resurrection, my right hand is yours. What is my right hand? All my authority is yours. Do you understand now? Shall I say that again? The Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand. It's simply as saying, by Jesus' resurrection, where is his position by resurrection? At the Father's right hand. So sit till I make all your enemies what? Your footstool. He's talking about Jesus' ascension and sitting at the Father's what? Right hand. So by his reason of his resurrection, by which he obtained a more excellent name, angels are to serve the Son. Then we saw something in Hebrews 1:14. Look at Hebrews 1:14. Hebrews 1:14. So. Thank you. Are they not all ministering spirits? That's another interesting fact. All the angels that are mentioned in the scriptures, at least we have the names of at least four. Isn't it? How many know the name of the four? Michael, yeah. Gabriel. That's all. Lucifer. Next. Apollyon. Thank you. There's Apollyon. You don't have any other word again. We don't know about Ariel. or Uriel. And Raphael too. You don't know. Okay? So we have four names at least that are mentioned in the scriptures. But notice what the Bible says. Are they not all ministering spirits? Now notice the phrase, send forth to minister for them, who shall be what? So one of the activities of angels is to protect and preserve men until they accept Christ. Then when they accept Christ, angels are able to serve them in full measure. Because in Christ, we've come into an inheritance. And that inheritance allows angels to serve us what? Fully, because we're what? In Christ. Hallelujah. You understand that? He says, are they not all ministering spirits? That means regardless of the kind of angel it is, they are all ministering spirits. And that's important. Because if you understand they are all ministering spirits, and you begin to study the characteristics of angels, you are also studying how Satan works, because even though he's a fallen one, he is still an angel. He's still an angel. He still has the qualities of an angel, because he's still an angel. That's how he was made. So in this series, we saw that angels were made at once. They were not made in batches, at once. In different companies, because they have specializations and categorizations, but we're all made at once. We saw that in Job chapter 38, verse 7. We saw that in Job. If you remember this, how many of you remember that? They were made at once. You can't remember. You do remember. They were made at once. You don't remember that. Okay, let's look at Job 38, verse 7. Verse 6. Verse 6 first. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fasting? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Verse 7 now. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God did what? Shouted for joy. The morning stars, there is a reference to angels. The sons of God, there is a reference to angels. Why does the Bible in the Old Testament refer to angels as sons of God? The reason is very simple. They didn't proceed from man. They proceeded directly from God. Sons, there is a function, is a reference to the fact that God was the one who created them. It's the same way the Bible refers to Adam. Adam as the son of God, because he didn't come from any man. He was directly created by God. Hallelujah. But Jesus is not referred to son of God in that sense. He's referred to as the son of God by resurrection and by inheritance. Hallelujah. So when you see angels referred to as son of God, he's not saying God gave them back. They simply were created by God. So when the Bible refers to you and I as sons of God, it's in a different context. What's that context? That by inheritance through resurrection, we have obtained a more what? Excellent name, or authority or position or placing. Hallelujah. So angels were created where? At once. They were not created in batches. We know from scriptures that there are specializations when it comes to angels, which means they serve different functions. Now, the writer of Hebrews tells us, are they not all ministers sent forth to minister for them shall be heirs of salvation? He says he makes his angels spirits and his ministers flames of fire. You know, that's their constitution. So we know they must have specialization based on the kind of assignments we see them carrying out in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now last week we saw something. Look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 53. Well, let's read from verse 52. Matthew 26. Look at what Jesus said when he was about to be captured. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword unto his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Next verse. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than what? 12 legions of angels. 12 legions of angels. 12 times 6 is what? Sorry? So at least Jesus will have 72,000 angels at his command. Just Jesus alone. Alone. Just Jesus alone. He said, I cannot pray. So we know a believer's prayer summons the activity of angels, at least. But look at the number that Jesus just mentioned now. I cannot. So that means the people who came to arrest him will be seriously outnumbered. Don't you think I can now pray my Father and they will presently send 12 legions? Let's look at Revelation. Revelation chapter 5. A few inches here and there. How about the number of angels? Let's do the maths. Revelation 5, look at verse 11. Yes. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels, round about where? And the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and what? Can somebody tell me what 10,000 times 10,000 is? Sorry? That's 100 million. 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of what? thousands. So in excess of 100 million, and he's not even giving us the full number. And they were around the throne. And because the man is sitting on the throne. So imagine Jesus just said, I can have 12 legions. That's just 72,000. And that doesn't deplete their number. And the Bible says that these are civil servants in the employ of God, meant to serve his sons. Think about it. The glimpses we have in the scripture shows us, because even under the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 6, look at chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Look at Elisha's experience. Now, remember, Elisha was a prophet. Elisha was a servant. Elisha was not a son. Yet Elisha enjoyed the ministry of angels and gave us a little insight on how to release their ministry. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. We're going to read fast. And when the servant of the man of God was reading early and gone for, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, Alas, master, how shall we do? Next verse. And he answered, Fear not, for they that be what? With us are more than they that be with them. So Elisha knew by revelation that angels were present, but the angels were not manifest. There's a difference. Did you see the difference? They were one, present. They were not manifest. Look at the next thing it says. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, do what? Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of what? Fire, round about Elisha. Did you see that? So the angels were present, but do you notice the angels did nothing? Elisha was secure in the revelation that the angels were present. And the angels were there to serve Elisha. And the angels were waiting for Elisha to do something before they acted. So they were there, they did nothing. In fact, Psalm 34, verse 7 says, The angel of the Lord encamped about them that fear him. And what? And what? There is a gap between encamp and deliver. Encamp is God's responsibility. Deliver is your responsibility. Shall I say that again? The angel of the Lord encamped about them that, do you fear the Lord? Are you a son of God? Are angels around you? All the time, as in all the time. But do angels act around you all the time? No. Angels are spiritual machines. Until you as a son, you take your place, they can't fully take their place. There are things you do by faith that activates their ministry. They were there. Elisha knew they were there. The young man did not know they were there. Elisha prayed that his eyes be open to see them. Elisha did something. So, look at how Psalm 34 verse 7 is about to be fulfilled. Now let's go back to that verse, that passage of scripture. Psalm 34 verse 7. Yeah, next verse please. Continue. Next verse, verse 18. And when they came down to him, the people, the army came down to him, Elisha prayed unto who? Unto who? And said, Smite these people, I pray thee, with what? And he smote them with blindness, according to the word of... Now, this is the way it is written. But let me ask you a question. When Elisha prayed that prayer, was it God that responded or the angels? Who did he pray in? If the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of who? Avails. So let me pray this way. Pay attention. Elisha is a righteous man, isn't it? Are you a righteous man? I want to show you something that is very important for you to understand. Because if you don't understand this, you would think God has a multiple personality disorder. How did Elisha shut the heavens? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man was used to shut the heavens, or he generated power through prayer that shut the heavens. It wasn't God being involved directly. It was Elijah generating power. Yes, Elijah. Who took over from Elijah? Using prayer to generate power. What did he generate? That the eyes of those people should be temporarily blinded. Why was he praying? Angels were present. What was he doing? He was activating the ministry of angels. Now, let me say this. Angels are not involved in either good or bad. They are spiritual machines. Their activity is seen in line with the activity of the man that they are around. Should I say another way? I showed us something last week. We looked at 2 Kings chapter 1 last week, when the king of Israel sent messengers to go and inquire from a deity. And the Elijah knew by revelation and sent his servant and went to go and meet those that the king sent and challenged them. Is it because there's no more a God in Israel? That's why he sent the messengers. Tell him he will not come down from that bed. So those ones went back to the king and said that when we're going, the man met us and sent us back. Say, who is he? Say, describe him. That one says, Elijah. Take 50 men and go and arrest him. Elijah climbed on the mountain and sat. When those ones were come, he said, man of God, the king has said, come down now. He said, if I'm a man of God, let fire come down. Who prayed the prayer? Who made the declaration? Who suffered it? The soldiers. Was it God that sent the fire? No. Who brought the fire? Elijah. If you don't read that story very well, you won't discover until towards the end that at the third set of 50, the captain and his 50, the third set, after he had killed two sets, it was the third set that came begging. It says, let my life and those of your servants be precious in your sight. That the Bible now says, and the angel of the Lord told Elijah, go with him. So the reason why fire was made manifest was because of what? Angel. Who was causing the fire to manifest? The angel. Was the angel doing bad? No. Who was doing bad? So you see the character of the individual that the angels are relating with in the actions of the angels. You need to really get this. Because when Jesus, in Luke chapter 9, when he was about to pass through the city of the Samaritans, and they refused him passage, and James and John told him, would you that we call down fire from heaven to consume them? Must Jesus turn and rebuke them. Why did Jesus rebuke them? Because they would have called the fire down, and the fire will come, and it wouldn't be God, and they had power. In fact, in that Luke chapter 9, the first verse, Jesus had just given them power, which they are about to use to roast people. What does that power mean? If they spoke, angels will answer. It won't be the fault of the angels. It will be the fault of the who misuses the authority and power. Do you understand? Yes. That's what's happening. If you understand some of this, you understand why Moses could say what he said. If these men die an ordinary death, I'm not a servant of God. But if I'm a servant of God, and this is a man who was relating with angels, who gave the law. Angels, I don't understand forgiveness. They don't understand forgiveness. Exodus 23:18. I pray I got that right. I pray that scripture is what I'm looking for. That shall not over the blood of my sacrifice with leaven bread. Neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. Next verse, verse 19. The first fruits of the land shall thou bring into the house of the glory of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not. Behold, I sent an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, to bring thee where? Into the place which I have won. Which place did God prepare for them? Promised land, Canaan, isn't it? Now, look at next verse. Beware. You see, beware of dogs. Beware of him. Now, this is God telling people who are servants, who don't have the status of a son. So they are not in the place where angels can readily obey them. How many of you have said? Look at what God said there. Beware of him. Obey his voice. Provoke him not. I will show you how you provoke angels now. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your... The angels are not wicked. They don't understand forgiveness. It's not wickedness. They actually do not understand what? Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a theme that is in the heart of God. And only one made in the image of God, man, understands forgiveness. Angels don't. It's the reason why angels that are fallen will never be forgiven. Because it was not wired in their constitution. They miss it once and for all. That's why no angel will fall again. That egg is gone. You know, I think that way. What if an angel just said to just go and join Satan? You know, you can't join. It's too late. That season is over. Hallelujah. It happened only once. It didn't happen progressively. It was once. At the fall, at the sin of Adam, that's where Satan fell. That's where all the other angels are falling also fell. It was once. It took place just once. But look at the instructions. Say, beware of him, obey his voice, provoke him not, for he will not what? For my name or my authority is where? My name there means that the assignment I gave him to do. is to bring you to the promised land. He will do all he can do to do that. But if you provoke him, you stop him, notice that the Bible says that those that believe not perished where? In the wilderness. How did they perish? The angel assisted them. They were how many days away from the promised land? They said that we will not enter. He said, I've heard you. You will not enter. Ecclesiastes 5:6. No, you need to understand how they are spiritual machines. They are not emotional. That you know me, I'm trying to work me. So no, that's not the issue. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. He now said that before the angel that it was what? An error. He's saying be careful around angels when you're speaking, because they're acting or they listen. Their activity is based on instructions received and given. That's what they're saying. So God told the Israelites, I send an angel before thee. So let me ask you a question. The pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day, was it God or an angel? Was it God or an angel? That was the manifestation of an angel. Hallelujah. That was the manifestation of the ministry of angels. The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. That was angelic ministry in operation. What was it meant to do? Lead them to the promised land. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So notice that Elisha prayed that they should be temporarily blind. Do we have another scripture to testify that we can use to confirm that that was angels at work? Yes. Genesis 19 from verse 1. Genesis 19 from verse 1. Let's quickly read the story of Lot. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. Look at that. Okay, that's how unredeemed men behave. They bow and worship angels. Look at the next verse. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, these angels look like men. They didn't have wings. It's very interesting that in almost all the scriptures, whenever angels manifest towards men, very few times were they mentioned with wings. And the few times they were mentioned with wings, it seemed to be in a vision that was given to those who were prophets. Most of the time they appeared like men, or in a vision, they didn't have wings. So we cannot say all angels have wings. Hallelujah. How many people have seen angels before? You've seen angels before? You've seen angels before? Okay. You should see them more often, no? Okay. Holy Ghost meeting is coming. You will see. Amen. You will see. You will see. Yeah, you see. Most of the time when you see angels mentioned with wings, most of the time it's to prophets in visions, usually in visions. So you cannot categorically say all of them have wings. And as we go on, you see that they have different proportions and sizes. They have those that look like ordinary men like these two when they were coming in. Just like those who went to visit Abraham, were the ones who came to visit Lot. See what happened? I pray you turn into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go your ways. And he said, neighbor, will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and they made them a feast, and they baked unleavened bread, and they did it. So these angels can interface with physical matter, even though they are spiritual beings. They can. They can actually do that. Look at next verse. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house, both old and young, all the people of every quarter, and they called unto the Lord and said unto him, where are the men which came in to this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Next verse. And Lord went out the door to them and shut the door after him. Let's jump all the way to verse 11. Verse 10. But the men put forth their hand and put Lot into the house to them and shut the door. Next verse 11 now. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with what? Blindness. Both small and so that they will really themselves to find the... What was the assignment? To protect Lot. How did they protect Lot? By smiting those who came to attack him with what? Blindness. What was their primary assignment? Protect Lot. How did they execute it? By causing those people not to see. The same way they did when they were around Elisha. Can you see the similarities now? Were they doing evil? No. What were they doing? Carrying out the instructions to protect Lot. By all means. So those men were temporarily blinded so that Lot could be what? Delivered. Before they now took Lot out. Hallelujah. Before they took Lot out of that place. So they were responding to the prayer of Abraham to deliver Lot. It was Abraham's prayer that brought the manifestation of those angels in Lot's life to deliver Lot. So angels encamp around believers But their activity or their manifestation is enforced by the believer. That's important for us to understand. It's the reason why we don't always see their manifestation, because they don't just manifest out of thin air. They are present. You have to know they are present. You have to know the fact that they are meant to serve you. And as they are serving you, they are serving God. Then you have to understand, therefore, also that you and I have something to do with their manifestation. Look at Psalm 103, verse 20. Let's hear this important fact about them also. Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, you his what? Angels that excel out in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Let me read that again. Bless the Lord, you his angels, they excel in strength. They do his commandments. How? By hearkening to the voice of his word. Now, notice the Bible doesn't say they hearken to what God says directly. It says they hearken to the voice of God's word. That's very interesting. So hearken to the voice of God simply means that man is a voice of God's word. It is men that voice the word of God. Hallelujah. It is men that voice the word of God. We just saw now in 2 Kings chapter 6 how Elisha voiced words and the angels acted. That's important. It is men that voice the word of God. Then the angels hearken to the voice of God's word. So when God's word is voiced, it activates the ministry of angels. Glory to God. That's what happens. That's exactly what Elisha did. Let's see somebody else that did that. Look at Daniel. Daniel and chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10 from verse 10. And behold, an arch touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palm of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understands the words I now speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. Next verse. Then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy hearts to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy what? Words. Did you see that? So, Daniel's words in prayer, the reason why prayer works is because words are spoken in prayer. Daniel's words in prayer actually activated the ministry of this angel. By the way, this angel is Gabriel. This angel, Gabriel, who throughout scriptures is noted as a messenger angel. Not once in scripture will you see Gabriel mentioned with fighting. It was always mentioned that somebody who brought a message directly from the throne of God. But notice the angel said, he said, I am come for thy words. So it was the words that Daniel uttered in prayer that activated the ministry of this particular angel. That's what happened. Hallelujah. That's what happened. And if you read further, you will see the angel speaking about the fact that, because Daniel had two experiences. There was time that while Daniel was still speaking, the angel appeared. The second time Daniel was praying, he prayed and continued praying for 21 days. It was when Gabriel came, he began to give Daniel further insight. From the first day he began to pray, the commandment came, and I was sent forth. But the prince of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, who is one of the princes, so in the story and the experience of Daniel, we have more insight into the activity of angels. Number one, they respond to prayers and the words of man. Number two, when they respond, they can be hindered by other angelic powers. In those days, Christ was not yet risen from the dead. But that brings us to a very important aspect that's important. Because if you understand how angels operate, again, I said you understand how Satan himself operates. It was Daniel's prayer that authorized Gabriel to come. It was the activities of other men who yielded to demonic spirits that allowed the prince of Persia to stand against Gabriel. Hallelujah. And if you study the book of Daniel very well, the prince of Persia is a reference to the spirit being ruling behind the king of Persia. So there was a physical king of Persia on the throne. There was a spiritual being ruling through him. That was the angel that now withstood Gabriel. And Gabriel was helped in his assignment because Daniel continued to pray. And in Daniel's prayer, he generated enough spiritual power to allow Michael to come. If I know only to allow Michael to come, to allow Michael to finish the battle while Gabriel came forward, while Gabriel went back. Again, it ain't no spiritual power. So these scriptures are teaching something important, that how effective angels are in serving us has more to do with us than God. Hallelujah. Has more to do with us than God. Say, I'm a man under authority. I have authority in Christ Jesus. I exercise my authority through words. Again, let me say this. The reason why angels have tremendous power is because they have little or no authority. The reason why you don't need tremendous power is because you are a being of authority. The splendor of God is not seen in his physical might. It is seen in the efficacy of his words. That's why one of the things that angels are learning about the new creation is that we are men that have authority, who are authorized to speak words. And those words activate the ministry of angels. Hallelujah. That's important to understand. So Psalm 103 verse 20 is a revelation. What is he saying? He says, blessed are you, his angels, that excel in strength, hearkening to the voice of his word. So you can look at angels as spiritual machines who have tremendous power to execute certain functions on behalf of the saints. How did they get to execute? The saints have to act on God's word by voicing it. So as you and I voice it, what we're doing is that we're enabling the ministry of angels. We're releasing their function upon the earth. Hallelujah. We're releasing their function upon the earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at one character before we go tonight. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world that come to naught. Next verse. But we speak what? The wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. When the Bible says we speak wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom is talking about the God's plan of salvation, the gospel. Is that clear? Now, notice it calls it hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world. And that plan was meant to bring us into what? Glory. Look at the next verse. You see where we're going now. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they what? Known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's important. It's telling you those who are in authority, this plan was hidden from them. If they knew the plan, they would have hindered God's plan of salvation by not crucifying the Lord of glory. You know, in the crucifixion of Jesus lies our victory. How many of you know that? Now, he's saying they did not know it. It was not revealed to them. He explains the dimension of that wisdom. Look at verse 9 now. I don't know why these people quote this one for earthly things. I really wonder why they quote this verse. For I has not seen. You're supposed to say that, what God will do in your life, I have not seen. You know, I've preached before, so I'm guilty also. Very wonderful sermon. People were jumping. They were jumping. But, you know, don't take the verse out of what he was saying before. He just told you the hidden wisdom. He said, that wisdom God prepared before the world unto our glory. Or, God already had the plan of salvation ready before the world began. But he hid it from those in authority. And we said something last week. I want to connect it with this now. So you see why he was hidden. He now says, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard. When you hear eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, he's referring to man. Information on the earth is controlled largely by man. So whatever God wants to protect, if it's not protected from man's mind, Satan can access it. Let me say that again. Whatever is not hidden from man, Satan can find out. But if it's hidden from man, Satan also is in the dark. Do you understand so far? Let me say that again. For eye has not seen nor ear heard. He told you, are the prince of this world, those who they know it, they will not have what? Crucified. So crucified means that they will know this is what it will produce, so they will stop it. Why would they stop it? They will be ruled by Satan and controlled. And they will try. So men, they were crucifying Jesus, had no idea that they were fulfilling God's plan of salvation. They think those scriptures were written that they were carrying out. Do you understand? Why? It was hidden from them. You know, one of the qualities of God is that he hides truths in plain sight. What they were doing was in Isaiah. Isaiah was with them. They didn't understand what Isaiah was saying. They didn't understand. That is, you read Isaiah, and their eyes were shut to see that they were fulfilling Isaiah. Think about it. So, did they have Isaiah's writing? Yes. Did they have Isaiah 53? Yes. Did you understand this? No. Who has believed our report? To whom is the harm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He has no beauty. And where we shall see him, there's no form that there's no, he has no form of comeliness. And where we shall see him, there's no beauty that we shall desire him. So the scriptures were speaking about the process by which Jesus was arrested and caught and crucified. In fact, they went as far as saying that he was taken away from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? Everything that happened to Jesus, plus what was happening before Pilate, was recorded by Isaiah. But nobody understood that what it is. So God hid truth in plain sight. So he says, I have not seen nor yet heard. And as it entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us by his word, Spirit. So they had no clue about the plan of salvation. And once they didn't have a clue, Satan also did not have a clue. Remember we spoke about the wise men who saw the star, followed the star, mistakenly branched by Herod's palace, informed Herod, and by so doing, informed Satan. And when they left Herod's palace and was going to the baby and they met him, Herod told them stylishly, go and find out where the child is and come back and tell me that I may also come and worship. Who was speaking to Herod? Satan. Being warned in a dream by God that they should not go back to Herod, the wise men went back by another way. When Herod saw that his plan was thwarted, he got angry. But who really got angry? The scriptures are wonderful, because think about it. How can you hear that a king of the Jews has been born and you are already 50 years old and you're angry? When will he reign? How is he threatening you? So it wasn't Herod that was angry, it was Satan that was angry. So the first information Satan had about the Messiah was through men who spoke. So what did he do? He provoked Herod, who had human authority, to slay children 2 years and under. Before they could do that, God sent another angel to warn Joseph, take the child now, go to Egypt. Satan did not know that he missed it. So the first thing you need to know is that Satan is not omniscient. Neither is he omnipresent. He doesn't know like you know. That's very important. He only knows what man reveals to him. He didn't know that Christ was even born. The time the wise men were talking about going to see Christ, Christ was already 2 years old. Think about it. If he knew everything, he would have found out. So it was when they informed Herod that Satan also got informed. So whatever man doesn't know, think about it. I showed us something 2 weeks back. The story of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. When the king said, I have a dream. That story is interesting because when the king said, I had a dream, number one, I have forgotten the dream, number two. Call all the wise men, they should tell me the dream, which I have forgotten. And they should also tell me the interpretation. And they had astrologers. And those ones battled for a few days. They didn't get the answer. They now complained, no man has ever asked, and no king has ever asked of an astrologer, what you are asking. Tell us the dream with the interpretation. He said, no, I don't remember the dream. It has gone from me. You must tell me. Otherwise, you have been lying to me all this while. And of course, they were lying to him. Because astrologers were consulting evil spirits. But the problem is this. Evil spirits or fallen angels cannot know if no man has informed them. Are you with me tonight? They cannot know except somebody informed them. So the mystery about that particular dream is that the man didn't even have the opportunity to voice out what he had done, because by the time he woke up, he had forgotten. But you know, because he was one who dreamed it, if you tell him the dream, you remember. Yes or no? Now, so the only one who knew the dream was who? God. So when Daniel came, Daniel told the king, the first thing he told the king, the dream that the king has dreamed, can no man tell on the heart, but there's a God in heaven that revealed secrets. He will tell the king his dream and his interpretation. And Daniel opened and began to tell the king the dream. Because of the nature of that dream, when Daniel finished, the king got down from the throne and worshiped Daniel. Surely the spirit of the gods is in you. Now, but that story tells us something. If you don't voice out information, angels can't find out. Angels, over time of relating with men, can sense from your body language what you are thinking. they can guess. From your actions, they can guess. The same way evil spirits also work. Angels can project thoughts to your mind, but they can't force you to act on it. That's why the Bible says, take no thought saying. You don't agree with the thought until you have said it. Evil spirits can put thoughts in your mind. They can. Just like angels can help you persuade men to fulfill God's will. They help in persuading men towards accepting Christ, for instance. They help in persuading men so that they can show you favor. Angels do that. Hallelujah. I am persuaded that the prayer that Mordecai and Esther prayed with the Jews when they fasted was what provoked the king not being able to sleep on the eve of Mordecai's execution. I'm sure an angel made sure the king did not sleep. Then told the king, why don't you spend this time you are awake checking the book of remembrance? They were working on Mordecai's case. Angels do that. They can pass thoughts across to you. They can persuade men on their behalf. You know, one day I was ministering to someone in a meeting, and I saw an office. I saw files before a particular person. I saw the person just set fire, pushed aside. He was going through files and then going through CVs, pushed aside. So he got to a particular file. I didn't see the name of the person on that file, but the man checked in and pushed aside. The angel picked up the file, put it back, and put it in front of the man and said, no, pick this one. They were in a meeting. What do you think happened to the person? He was promoted. They do things like that. They assist. They help. Say, no, take this one. Put this one. I've seen angels with wings. I've seen angels without wings. In fact, I have only seen angels with wings once. All the angels I've seen at different times with wings were all without wings. So do we know whether they all have wings? We don't know. But are there angels with wings? Yes. But it seems that all the angels that seem to have wings only appeared in visions to those that were specifically prophets. All the other people that saw them without wings. Each time Gabriel appeared, there was never a time he appeared with wings, according to the way he appeared to Mary. Okay? The way he appeared in dream to Joseph, not without wings. But obviously, he could fly. Because Daniel told us, the man called Gabriel, be made to fly very swiftly. Abi? That's what Daniel said about Gabriel. And he called him a man. That means Gabriel in appearance like what? A man. Is he every angel like looks like a man? Okay, our time is flapping. Revelation chapter 10. Let me show you this one. You now tell me whether this one looks like a man. Revelation 10, verse 1 and 2. Pastor T, you say Pastor T doesn't look like a man. No. Let us see this one. Even you, let us see whether you agree. Verse 1. I saw another. Now wait. You see an angel. He's already mighty. When you now qualify it as mighty, he must be mighty. Let us check why it's mighty. Come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. His face was as where the sun, his feet as pillars of fire. Does this verse mark for you? Don't shout there. You see something now. Next verse. He had his hand a little book open. He set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the and his head is in the clouds. Even John said, I saw a mighty angel. Think about it. The shining nature of his person was like the sun. That means you can't look at him directly. And he's an angel. Think about it. So now, tell me, if you don't have the revelation of their function, you will do what John did in chapter 19, and bow. The angel has said, John, see that you do it not. I'm of thy fellow brethren, and those who keep the testimony of Jesus worship God. Because you'll be overwhelmed at the activity and the appearance. Yet the appearance is for your good. It's for your good. They are strong for your sake. They are mighty on your behalf. Their constitution is the way it is so that they can perform the word of God concerning you. That's why they are like that. And when finding a priest from God's word, they have, where you see more power, there's less authority. Where you see more authority, there's no need for power. So they have all power, which cannot be used without your authority. So who really is in charge? You and I. So they wait on our prayers. And as we're going to show us something, the prayer of saints can be stored. John showed us that the prayer of saints can be stored. He said it was like incense that the angels were using. The prayers of saints can be stored. And they use the prayers of saints to regulate their activities on the earth. So when we say pray for missionaries in Iraq, they're in danger, your prayers will help angels to actually fulfill the will of God and the word of God concerning those missionaries. As we go on, because something is also important. It seems as though, because they are celestial beings, to break into physical matter or to reach physical matter, seems as though there needs to be a level of energy and authorization from man for them to manifest out of the spiritual to the physical. Which is one of the reasons why we don't often see them around us physically, but they are always there. Bible says, you have come. Say, I have come. As a new creation, where I am, there's innumerable company of angels. I am never alone. I have supernatural protection, supernatural guidance. I have spiritual guards watching over me. Wherever I go, I can't be molested. I can't be harassed. I'm supernaturally protected, always delivered by the ministry of angels. I'm a son in Christ Jesus. Angels watch over me. They protect me. There shall no evil before me, in that way any plague come there with a deadly place. Only in my eyes will I see and behold the reward of the wicked. The Father has given angels charge over me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the moment we become conscious of sonship, and you, even if you are walking in the dark, you are not alone. They are with you. Your words, your utterances, your prayers have released the activities. You will see divine interventions that cannot be explained severally because of their ministry. So we're not even to be conscious of their ministry directly, we're to be conscious of God's word and the revelation of Christ. And that automatically upon our lips activates their what? Ministry. Hallelujah. All right, we'll stop here tonight.